Welcome to Jim Lang's Retire Secure Podcast, where smart money talks. Throughout his career, Jim Lang has made it a priority to provide his clients, readers, and friends with useful, cutting-edge information, as well as peer-reviewed financial and tax planning strategies, so that they can make the most educated decisions and really get the most out of what they've got. We hope you enjoy the following special rebroadcast from the Lang Vault. And please stay with us until the end, so you don't miss more information on how we can help you protect your wealth and ensure your family's financial security for the next generation. And now, Jim Lang.
If you do this, though, you set up the revocable trust, you can be the trustee, your spouse can be the trustee. If you can have a joint revocable trust, that is, you can combine your monies and put both of your monies into this revocable trust. You can have a his, hers, and theirs, and sometimes that is appropriate. Obviously, it's a little bit more paperwork, but that might be appropriate. And you can be your own trustee. Your spouse can be the trustee. If you're joint, you can both be trustees. There might be situations where you might want an adult child to be a trustee. And the trust will typically say settlors or the people who are establishing this trust, they can do whatever they want during their lifetime. They can spend it. They can blow it. If it's a house, they can live in it. They can rent it out. They can paint it green. Whatever they want to do, they can do. But it also has provisions on what happens at death, either after the first death or even after the second death. So people draft these trusts to avoid probate for probate assets. And again, you have to transfer these assets to the trust. And this revocable trust will control the distribution of the probate assets. What are probate assets? They are typically assets that are not controlled by beneficiary designation. So what are assets that are controlled by beneficiary designation? Well, for example, your IRA beneficiary will supersede anything that you put in your will or your trust. So if in your will or your trust, you say, I leave my IRA to Bill, and if you look to the beneficiary designation of your IRA and it says, I leave it to Joe, then Joe wins and he is the beneficiary of the IRA, and that supersedes what the will says, and it supersedes what the revocable trust says. And obviously, this should be working together. That is, the same estate attorney should be very cognizant about who the beneficiary is of the IRAs and retirement plans, who the beneficiary is of everything else, and plan accordingly. Our firm, one of the things we love to do is we call it a strategy called who gets what. And we will very often have different assets go to different beneficiaries. To the most common one that attorneys routinely botch. You want a quick way to save $24,000, assuming you're charitable, or even a little bit charitable. All right, so what do most estate attorneys do? Let's say you want to leave $100,000 to XYZ charity after you and your spouse are gone. All right. So they put it in the will or the revocable trust. After I and my spouse are gone, I leave $100,000 to the XYZ charity. Okay. So you and your spouse die, $100,000 goes to the XYZ charity. All right. Now that just cost your family $100,000 because if you had just left it to your family, they'd have received $100,000. Instead, you left it to the XYZ charity. So that's $100,000 that your family didn't have. Well, what if you change who gets what? So you say, I leave $100,000. And by the way, mechanically, the way you do this is through the beneficiary designation of your IRA and or retirement plan. I leave $100,000 of my IRA to the XYZ charity. All right, now let's take a look at the implications of that. So now the XYZ charity gets $100,000 at your death. The XYZ charity could care less the form of the money that they're getting. They don't care if it's an IRA, after-tax dollars, Roth IRA dollars, etc. What they care about is who got the most money or how much money are they getting. All right, so in that example, your family is getting $100,000 less of an IRA. But remember, an IRA is still taxable after you're gone. So that $100,000 that they aren't receiving didn't really cost them $100,000. Let's just, to simplify, let's just use a 24% tax rate. That really just cost them $76,000. So by changing who gets what, we are saving $24,000 for your family. So who's in effect eating that $24,000 savings that your family is receiving? Well, it's the IRS. All right.
We hope you've enjoyed this special edition of Jim Lang's Retire Secure podcast, where smart money talks. If you've had your questions answered and would like to schedule an appointment to meet with Jim, call our offices at 1-800-387-1129. That number again is 1-800-387-1129. And if you would like to attend one of Jim's upcoming virtual events, go to paytaxeslater.com/webinars. That address again is paytaxeslater.com/webinars to reserve your virtual spot today.